Radio.
R to the E to the V to the E to the R to the V.
97.2 FM in the mix.
Welcome to In The Mix on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. I'm your host, Paul Mix, and today I am your solitary DJ because I am a solitary man. I don't know how it became that way. Not enough time, and so I'm your solitary man. Here's a record that's been played numerous times on In The Mix before. Opening today's show, it is, of course, Johnny Cash.
Melinda was mine till the time that I found her holding Jim and loving him. Then Sue came along, loved me strong. That's what I thought, me and Sue. But that died too. Don't know that I will, but until I can find me a girl who'll stay and won't play games behind me, I'll be what I am, a solitary man, solitary man. I've had it to hear, be and where, love's a small word, a part-time thing, a paper ring. I know it's been done, having one girl who loved me, right or wrong, weak or strong. Don't know that I will, but until I can find me the girl who'll stay and won't play games behind me, I'll be what I am, a solitary man, a solitary man. Don't know that I will, but until love can find me and the girl who'll stay and won't play games behind me, I'll be what I am, a solitary man, a solitary man, solitary man.
I am the solitary man, and I am Paul Mex. This is In The Mix on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, and that was, of course, Johnny Cash. And on today's show, I have a little bit of a treat for you because I will be talking to none other than ex-Strangler lead vocalist Hugh Cornwell. And he will be joining me on the phone to have a chat about his upcoming tour. He comes to Brighton on April the 17th. He'll be at the Comedia. If you want to see him, get your tickets now. They'll go fast. But just before I talk to Hugh, let's remind ourselves how the Stranglers sounded. There really is no more heroes anymore.
Whatever happened to Leon Trotsky? He got an ice pick that made his ears burn. Whatever happened to Duo Lenin? Mira and Sancho Panza. Whatever happened to the heroes? Whatever happened to the heroes? Whatever happened to all of the heroes, all the Shakespeare's? They watched their own burn. We'll be right back. Shakespeare-os. They watch their own band. Whatever happened to the heroes?
You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, and this is In The Mix.
And on the line, we've got Hugh Cornwell, Strangler Extreme. How would you describe yourself, Hugh?
You're trying to get me to do your job.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I used to play in the Stranglers a very long time ago. I've actually been outside of the band longer than I was in it now. I mean, funnily enough, the bass player and drummer that I'm on the road with at the moment, who will be on this tour with me, the original bass player and drummer from the album Guilty, which I'm going to be playing, funnily enough, on the road. We worked out recently that I've actually been playing with them on and off longer than I played with the original members of the Stranglers.
I did actually hear that, because a couple of years ago I did interview a chap called Paul who replaced you in the Stranglers.
Oh, Paul Roberts.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, I only met him once.
Yeah, he lives quite local down here. I think he lives in Lewis. I bumped into him a few times around town. He's a nice chap. Obviously
good.
Not as good as yourself, Hugh. The original is always the best. I'm a middle-aged punk rocker.
Oh, right, okay.
We do have to talk a little bit about the Stranglers before kind of moving on to your solo career.
Fair enough.
And back in the 70s, it's fair to say that you got quite a bit of stick for several things in the Stranglers, and one of them included being good musicians. On hindsight, that seems pretty ridiculous, doesn't it? I mean, what do you make of all that?
It's funny. I mean, the thing was, when we appeared on the scene, it was in between two stalls, because the pub rock explosion had happened, and so we came in after that, and we were frowned at and sneered upon, looked upon badly by the pub rock musicians, because we couldn't play as well as they could. And then the punk thing happened after we appeared on the scene, and they looked down their nose at us because we could play better than they could. So we were sort of in between. Nobody liked us for one reason or another.
I don't know. I think you were one of those bands that everybody did like, but pretended not to a little bit.
I see. A bit of charades.
Yeah, guilty pleasure kind of situation.
Yeah.
One of my companions, Trevor Random, who's also an aging punk, he remembers you playing a gig. I think it was in Hyde Park.
Battersea Park.
Okay, and you were accompanied by a lot of strippers. Did that just seem like a good idea at the time?
The thing was, we were performing Nice and Sleazy in the set, and what had happened, totally unplanned by us, it was totally a sporadic, that members of the audience would jump up on stage, women, and start stripping while we were doing this song on stage. And it became sort of a point in the evening when that happened. So when we went to Battersea Park, we thought, well, we knew a few strippers, so we thought we'd actually employ our own to do a proper show of it.
You had some guys in there as well.
Well, they couldn't resist themselves. They had to join in.
So it just seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah, absolutely, and it was fun. And we had a tank as well, because there was a song on the album called Tank.
Yeah.
So we had a real-life tank there, and I think it fired off a couple of blanks, you know, at the time, so it's great.
We came across the West Sea. We didn't have much idea of the kind of climate waiting. We used our hands for guidance, like the children of a preacher, like a dry tree seeking water, or a daughter. Nice and sleazy. Nice and sleazy does it.
You are listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. This is In The Mix, and I'm Paul Mex, talking to ex-Stranglers lead singer Hugh Cornwell. Hugh, can I just play you something quickly and see if you recognise this tune?
Sure. Yeah, Keep On Running, wasn't it?
That was Keep On Running by a band called The T-Set. They're actually friends of mine, or they were friends of mine at the time.
Yeah, great little band, and I produced that single, yeah.
Yeah, it was Nick Egan on vocals, Callie on drums.
That's right.
Nick now lives in America, and he's a big-time video director.
Ah, okay.
So you produced that. Are you interested in producing? Is something that you kind of do?
Well, I don't do it very often. I mean, I sometimes used to get asked to do things, so I'd try and oblige when I got asked, but it wasn't something that I did a lot of, I must say.
And what about your new stuff? Because you've been working with the same guy for quite a while, haven't you? You've had the same producer on your solo material for quite a while.
No. I've had, the last album was Liam Watson, who worked with the White Stripes on Elephant, and the one before that...
That's the guy I'm talking about.
The last album before that was Tony Visconti, who's worked with Bowie and Mark Bolan and Morrissey. The one before that was Laurie Latham, who'd worked with Paul Young, Echo and the Bunnymen, Stranglers. So no, I mean, I've had a different producer for every album, so I don't know where you got that from.
That was your press release, actually. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I've read that, and it's correct, so I think you might, maybe you misread it.
Maybe I didn't get that sheet.
Yeah.
Typical you. You know what we're like, you know. We cut corners.
How funny.
Well, listen, on your website, there's a really, really great video, and there's a little play on Blow Up, which is actually one of my favourite movies.
Ah, you noted, you realised what it was, huh?
Yeah, see, I can get some things right.
No, because we deliberately didn't flag up that was a take on Blow Up, you know, just so that people like yourself who really knew the film would go, I know where that's from.
So is that one of your favourite films?
Yeah, it's one of my favourite films. And the last one I put up there was a take on Easy Rider.
Right, I haven't seen that one yet.
That's on there now, yeah.
Well, I love the Blow Up one. Are films kind of, you know, do they create inspiration for your music?
Oh, I love movies. It's one of my joys outside of music. I love it. I love movies. I watch movies all the time.
Because you've made that Blueprint DVD, haven't you? And that's kind of, in some ways, sort of stepping into that world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'd like to do more in film. You know, I love, it's a great, pleasurable experience, cinema. I love it. It's fascinating.
So when you come up with the film type things, do people come to you and ask you to do that, or does that come from you?
Well, I mean, I'm not in the movie business, so, I mean, various people come to me at various times with different ideas for projects, you know, but whether they, most things in the movie business don't happen, you know, there are a lot of plans laid, but very few things actually get off the ground, so you're very lucky if something actually happens.
And another thing I actually once read a while back is that Bitches Brew by Miles Davis is one of your favourite albums.
Absolutely. What an amazing piece.
Well, I love Miles Davis, but that particular album...
That one you find difficult.
I found it difficult to digest, but I think I got it last year. After years of listening, I finally got it.
Yeah.
But did you get it immediately?
No, I mean, the first thing I got was Pharaoh's Dance, which is one of the first tracks, and that one I sort of took me about 10 years to get. Slowly you get the other ones as well. It's all familiarity, you know.
If we played a track from that now, which one would you want to hear?
Well, Pharaoh's Dance, actually.
Okay, well, let's have a listen to Pharaoh's Dance, and this is especially for you.
You're really pushing the boat out, aren't you? I'm surprised you're allowed to do that.
I'm allowed to do anything I want. Punk rock.
True. Funnily enough, I'd like to say that talking directly about Bitches Brew is that this might be of interest to you, that this tour I'm doing, where I'm going to be playing the solo album Guilty, and then we're going to take a break, during which time a Brazilian band is going to play for 20 minutes, some friends of mine. And then after that, we're going to come on and do some of the Stranglers' big, long, anthemic songs. And one of the songs we do is a version of I Feel Like a Wog. And that version is directly inspired by Bitches Brew.
So Miles Davis is obviously really important to you.
Yeah. I mean, I he's inspiring. Thank you.
You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, and this is In the Mix. We'll be right back.
I can't see you hearing that on any other radio station other than the best station in Brighton, Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. That was Pharaoh's Dance by the fabulous, fabulous, fabulous Miles Davis. And that is one of Hugh Cornwell, ex-Strangler. I don't think he's actually strangled anybody. I'm talking about the Stranglers, that legendary band from the 70s. That is one of his favourite all-time tunes. And I am talking to Hugh Cornwell today on the phone about his forthcoming tour, which will bring him to Brighton on April the 17th at the Comedia. I mean, speaking about your music, Hoover Dam is available as a free download from your website.
That's right.
Have you made so much money from past Stranglers hits that you can afford to do this? Or do you simply just think that's the way the music business is going?
No, it's a very good tape. That's a very good idea, but unfortunately it's not true. What happened was that my record company, two zany Australian dudes who paid for the album, they said, listen, Hugh, we want to release this for free as a free download. We think this is the way that the world is going. We want to try and attract people who've never ever listened to you before, who might be interested in listening to you if it was for free. And you never know, you know, some of these people might like what they hear and they might become new fans. So I said, let's give it a go, and they bought me a few more drinks and I got even more drunk and I agreed to everything they said. But I mean, it wasn't through the fact of that I could afford to do it. It's just that it was a punt, it was an investment in the future, and I think it sort of worked. I mean, the next one won't be free, but what it's done is it's created this viral album. I mean, Hoover Dam is now this sort of virus, goes out around the world, and it's still available. You can still get it for nothing on the internet. You don't have to put your name and address in, no details, get it totally for free. And it's like those free newspapers, you know, we believe that for every copy that's out there, there might be five or six people that have listened to it. So I think it's in excess of 50,000 downloads now, which means it's getting up in nice big figures now, and we were relieved that we got good reviews for it. So that means that if people like it, they're going to play it to their friends, you know. And what's happened is it's allowed me to start building an audience in America now, and I've started going to other territories as well. I'm going back to Australia for the first time in many years. I'm going into Eastern Europe. I'm expecting to do Russia this summer, and it's all because Hoover Dam has gone out there, and it's been my calling card, you know.
Well, speaking of that album, what is it about Hoover Dam that's so special to you that, you know, you've given the album its name from Hoover Dam?
Well, I thought it's a nice word to say. It's a great word to say, Hoover Dam, and it's almost like a swear word, Hoover Dam. And also it's an amazing feat of mankind's, you know, ingenuity. I mean, it's just the most incredible construction. And I saw a film about the making of the construction. It was incredible. Right. They stopped the flow of the Colorado River. They cut two tunnels and diverted it through these two tunnels. And then when it was diverted, they were able to drain the bed of it. And that's where they built the dam. And then they closed up the two tunnels. Very clever. And all the concrete, there's so much concrete in the dam. It's still drying. I mean, they built it in 1933. That's 80 years ago. And the concrete in the middle is still liquid. They'd laid it in a particular way, because if they'd have laid it all at once, the heat that would have been created would have cracked all the concrete. So they had to do it in a special way. And they've got cooling pipes all the way running through it, which have cold water going through. And they had to build the biggest refrigeration plant on the face of the earth when they first started laying the concrete. So it's an amazing achievement. And I just wanted to applaud that, you know.
Right. I'm making an assumption, but I'm presuming that you've been there.
Yeah, I haven't been inside. I didn't have time to go inside, but I drove over it last year.
Still speaking of that album, you've got one track on there, which is actually one of my favourites, Wrong Side of the Tracks.
Oh, I like that one too.
Yeah, and there's always been a bit of a dark side to your character, being one of the original Men in Black. Do you actually still feel like you are the wrong side of the tracks?
Totally, all the time.
So that feeling never ever goes away?
I totally feel that I never fit in anywhere. I just feel a complete misfit.
So that all these days on from punk, sort of in some ways, nothing's changed.
I don't really disagree with everything I see, but I'm very dissatisfied.
Is that with just like life in general or politics?
Yeah, I mean, life is a tragicomedy as far as I can see. It's a tragicomedy.
Well, I'll tell you what, Hugh, let's hope something better change. Or you better get a grip on yourself.
Getting out of the street. tracks. And no one to say when conversation's in play and all the words to parlay at the ball. Cause some comrade runs out of the tracks. Good looks in a crisis, I know who to call. Cause I'm from the wrong side of the tracks. Turn my face to the wall, I don't belong here at all. I'm any part of this wall, as a matter of fact. I'm wrong side of the tracks.
You are listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. This is In The Mex, and I'm Paul Mex, talking to ex-Stranglers lead singer Hugh Cornwell.
Listen, I'd like to tell you something about... I've got these VIP tickets for my tour.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. That is actually on my list, but if you want to go for it now, go for it.
Well, before I forget, because they're actually very expensive. They're like 50 quid, but for that, I'll tell you what they're going to get. And I looked at the price they were going to be, and I thought, well, they come to the sound check. You know, they hang out with us at sound check, and then after the show, we hang out together and we can talk about the show, and which is all great. But and then I see that other bands give them T-shirts, you know, and I thought, well, that's not really enough. I don't think that's worth it to just get a T-shirt. So what I've done is I've actually recorded a special album for them, which is a CD they're going to get, and it's going to be a limited edition. There's only going to be 250 copies because there's 250 VIP guests, and it's called You're Covered. It's a selection of songs that I grew up with, you know, some of my favourite songs that I started, the first song I sang when I was a kid, and I've done versions of them, you know. It's something really special for them, and I just wanted to let you know that.
I mean, you are coming to Brighton on the 17th of April, and you'll be playing at the Comedia. People need to get their tickets quickly because they will sell out. Do they just still buy those VIP tickets at the box office like normal?
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm going to present each person with one of these copies and sign it for them. There's space for me to sign it on the cover, you know, so it's a real special thing for them, and I really hope that they'll appreciate it, because I put a lot of love into making this little record.
That's absolutely brilliant. Just jumping back a bit on that video where you kind of doing the blow up scene, you do mention here there that you're always asked, are you going to go back to the Stranglers, and you say categorically no. Is that for personal reasons, or is it just because you think you know that's been done, it's just time
it's
to move
done.
On
I just don't see it. To me, it's going backwards, you know. I mean, I've done that, I'm moving on, I've got other things.
Are you still friends with the other guys?
No, I don't have any contact with them, and they're doing their thing. It's great. I think it's really great that they're out there still playing that old catalogue, because it's a great old catalogue, and I can't play at all.
No, but the songs you are playing on this new tour, will you be kind of injecting a new life into them? Are you going to be doing it quite differently?
Oh, of course, because I don't take keyboards on the road with me anymore. I'm just bass, drums and guitar. So so the arrangements of the songs are for a trio, and so they won't be exactly the same, but we take care to listen to the important keyboard pieces, and I either play them on the guitar or the bass incorporates them, or We cover the ground, and people don't seem to be missing the keyboards, which is great.
I mean, it was a huge part of the Stranglers sound. Sometimes it was a bit over-dominating in some ways, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, I've had enough keyboards to last me a lifetime. I'm a traditionalist. All my favourite groups had bass guitar and drums. I mean, even Led Zeppelin were a trio, really, because they just had a singer and a bass guitar. So was The Who. You know, then you got Hendrix, Cream, Nirvana, you know, all these bands. To me, rock and roll is bass guitar and drums. Going even further, people say, oh, what about The Doors? Well, The Doors were a trio.
Yeah.
The Doors, the keyboard player, played the bass with his feet.
Right.
So they were a trio.
Your current album, New Songs for King Kong,
yeah,
another film reference there.
That's a quote from a lyric from one of the songs on Hoover Dam.
Is it?
Yeah, a song on Hoover Dam called Going to the City. One of the lines on it is New Songs for King Kong, because King Kong's associated with New York. You see, it's all about New York.
Did you release a live album because it really captured the essence of the performance?
Yeah, I mean, we were doing the shows with the live Hoover Dam and live Radisson Vegicus, and it made sense because the first album I'd ever made and the latest album I'd made, so it was a nice little package. And then just on sheer speculation, we set up a recording system at the London show and just recorded it on just to see. And I listened to it and I couldn't believe how, and I said to my manager, I couldn't believe how well this turned out, and we don't need to do anything to it. I just want to put it out exactly as it was recorded. There's no doctoring to it at all.
You mentioned earlier on that you've worked with Tony Visconti. Of course, he's famous for doing the Thin Lizzy album, Live and Dangerous. Allegedly, we recorded everything. So you really didn't touch anything on the
live
recording?
No, nothing at all. It was so easy to put out. You know, it was just a day of mixing. That's it.
Right.
And then it was ready to go out. So it made sense to fill the gap. I mean, I got a new album, which I've just finished demoing and writing, but that won't be ready till this time next year. But I tell you what, talking of looking forward to new things, I'd like to tell you that my first novel is being published this
really?
May.
Really?
Yeah, on Quartet Books in the UK, and I'm really, really pleased with this. It's taken me a long time to write. Everyone's very excited about it, and I'm really looking forward to it. When I get the first copy in my hand, I'm going to be like a little kid again.
What's it all about?
It's a thriller love story, very dark thriller about a girl Australian portrait painter who comes to England to become a success as an artist.
And is there any bits of Hugh Cornwell in there?
Well, I mean, it's all drawn from, you know, things I've heard about, things that have happened to me. It's always, whenever you write fiction, that most people, it's all drawn from people's lives, you know, so there's bits of me in there.
Well, thanks a lot for joining me today, Hugh. I know you're a busy
My pleasure.
Man. We look forward to seeing you on the 17th of April at the Comedia in Brighton. Good to see you ending the UK part in Brighton. Was that deliberate?
Well, I think we ended the last one there.
Do you like Brighton?
Yeah, it's a cool town. I mean, my sometime bass player, Caroline Campbell, she's based in Brighton. I hope she'll be back. She's on tour at the moment with Cradle of Filth, and I think that she's going to be back. Hopefully, we'll see her there as well.
Okay, well, thanks for joining me, Hugh. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Good luck with the tour, and good luck with the book especially as well. And I hope
much.
To catch you backstage at the Comedia.
Absolutely, we'll have a beer.
Yeah, that sounds good. Cheers, Hugh.
Thanks, man. It's very nice talking to you.
Golden brown, texture like sun, lays me down, with my mind she runs throughout the night. No need to fight, never a frown with golden brown. Every time, just like the last, on her ship, tied to the mast, two distant lands, takes both my hands, never a frown with golden brown. Golden brown, fine temptress, through the ages she's heading west, from far away, stays for a day, never a frown with golden brown. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 in the mix.
Thank you to Hugh Cornwell for taking the time out to talk to me today. We, of course, went straight into Golden Brown by the Stranglers after talking to Hugh. And that was followed by one of Hugh Cornwell's solo tracks from his Hoover Dam album that we were speaking about there. And it's a track I can certainly identify with. And that was called The Pleasure of Your Company, which I no longer have. It is the end of the show. And if you think I've lost the plot over the past few weeks, you wouldn't be wrong. We are going to keep the Stranglers theme going and we'll be ending the show with them today. This song is very apt for me. I've been your host, Paul Mex. This show is In The Mex. Please tune in again next week. Check out the website, all the W's, inthemex.co.uk. Thank you for listening. And remember, the worst crime that I ever did was play some rock and roll. But right now, it's time for me to leave you and get a grip of myself. Until next week, listeners, goodbye.
To shake me anyhow. Baked and embarrassed, sometimes I admit I even stole. music, I think I'll go outside. Committed for insanity and crimes against the soul. The worst crime that I ever did was play some rock and roll. But the money's no good. Just get a grip on yourself. But the money's no good. Just get a grip on yourself. And you should know.
In the mix.